Nothing sweeter.
Thank you, Bob. First order of business, how about the sound?
Be a little higher.
Could be a little higher? How's that? Is that better? I apologize for last week because we had a battery failure and I lost the recording and I lost the sound and it was a brand new battery. So I now have another brand new battery. You keep our fingers crossed there.
You know, that was an analog solution that you didn't address the electronics.
So thank you for that insight. Okay, well, we're in Ephesians chapter 6, and I need somebody, if they would please, to read the verses that are on the screen and that are on the top of your sheet or from your scriptures, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 20. I put down on your sheet verse 18, but I'd like to read verses 13 through 20, just what's on the sheet to cover the topics that we're going to discuss this morning. Do I have a volunteer?
Take up the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand firm, then, with the belt, the truth buckle around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that word may be given to me to open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I have to speak.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your grace. We are just so privileged to have this word of God in our hands and the Spirit of God in our hearts to teach us, for he indeed is the teacher. And so I just welcome his presence here this morning. Pray that you would bless this time, bless our fellowship, and bless the teaching of the word. I just pray that it would be honoring and glorifying to you and to your name. Thank you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. That's my favorite trick. Read these scriptures, and then we go to another one. Genesis chapter 3. I want you to watch as I read through this passage of scripture, and I want you to be thinking about what Paul reveals to us back here in Ephesians about the armor of God, and we've got the armor of God kind of hanging on that picture there beside the screen. But I want you to be thinking about what happened in the Garden of Eden, and then we're going to talk about which piece of armor was not used. So, Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Okay, we'll stop there, and let's talk for a minute about what happened there. Thinking about the armor that we've discussed here in our last few lessons, we talk about the first one, I believe, was the belt of truth, then the breastplate of righteousness, and then we're going to be talking about the other pieces of armor, the shoes and the shield and the sword and the helmet. We'll talk about those as we go on through our passage in Ephesians. But let's go back, because we've already talked about enough of this that we ought to be able to look at this passage and answer the question, what is the prime piece of armor that was not used? Tell me what you think it is, Dale.
I just read something, not about this particular part, but related to this, and that it was the helmet of salvation, which is the Word of God, because it is, the helmet protects our thinking mechanism, and that Eve certainly did not consider, she didn't have the Bible, but she had the Word of God, and she did not use the Word of God in responding to that. And the contrast is what Jesus did in the temptation in the wilderness when Satan came in front of him. He responded with three times with the Word of God.
Yep. We talked about that. Other thoughts, Bob?
The belt of truth. She ignored the truth.
And
going against the truth.
And did let's talk about that for a minute. She ignored the truth. Did she have the truth?
Yes, she did.
And we know that because what?
God told her.
She quoted it. She quoted it. You know?
Was she on the faith because, I mean, God had only shown her and Adam nothing but goodness, and his words were true, and, you know, her faith in God faltered because she thought, well, you know, maybe God's not right, and this snake is right.
Okay. Other thoughts?
She misquoted the truth.
She misquoted the truth. She had the truth, but she added to it. She added to it. What else? Any other thoughts here? Dale has got an extremely good point. The unfortunate part is it's out of sequence. We haven't got to that point where we covered that yet. But you're exactly right. Your point is exactly well taken, because the helmet is to shield our thoughts, and obviously that was an issue. But let's talk about this belt of truth, because we spent quite a bit of time on that one. She had the truth, but what happened there? She had the truth, but what?
She was deceived.
The devil deceived her. She didn't use it. She didn't use it, right? She had the truth. She even quoted it. And yet she didn't use it. Bob?
As so often happens, we know the truth, but we don't buy it.
That's exactly the point that I was headed for. That is it. Thank you, Bob. You win.
Wish I'd known.
Basically, one of the problems that you and I have as Christians, and keep in mind that this whole passage in Ephesians 6 is not written to unbelievers, it's written to believers. And for the most part, we have the truth. We may not have memorized all of this, but those of us who have been around in a church for as long as I have, you've been here long enough that you know the truth. You know the truth. The problem is we sometimes don't like it. We don't like the truth. And so what do?
Ignore it.
Just ignore it. Just ignore it and go on and do whatever we want. So we didn't talk about that when we talked about the belt of truth. We talked about having it, and that's my error, because having the truth is absolutely necessary, absolutely necessary. But doing the truth is more necessary. Does that make sense? You can't, if you don't have the truth, you're not going to do it. So that's a failure right there. But if you have the truth, which most of us have, if you have the truth and don't do it, that's almost as bad as not having it.
It's worth it.
Bob?
This is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is facts and information, so on.
Yep.
But until you know how to apply it wisely, and you only get that from God.
Exactly. You get that from the Holy Spirit. You get that from, and still it comes down to, in the end, you have to apply it. You have to use it. It has to be belted, or the truth has to be put around your waist and fastened. That's what the significance is of not just having the truth. It isn't just, do you have the truth? Yes, so it's hanging on the hook back here in the closet. No, it's got to be on your waist. It has, and that's the significance of that, is the difference between having it and doing it. So we just have to do this. We have to learn how to use the truth, and the way we learn how to use the truth is by applying the difference between the knowledge and the wisdom of it. And the book of Proverbs is very strong on that. You can have the truth and not know how to use it. Usually you have the truth and you don't want to do it. That's, and I speak from experience. I don't want to do that. I think I know better than what this says, and so I'm just going to go ahead and do this anyhow. Then later on, you become convicted, and we're down to the first question on your sheet. And the first question is, how do we often fail to use his righteousness? And the answer to that is what? We sin. We fail to use His righteousness by sinning. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Would somebody read that for us?
This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives.
So basically, what He is saying there is that believers never sin, right? No? No? Everybody is saying from experience, no. And actually, there are churches and denominations that actually preach that once you become a Christian, you become sinless. And this scripture says, if you say that you have no sin, you are what? You are a liar. So you're sinning even in saying that. Okay, Bob, back to you.
But now I brought the kids.
Okay, come on down, Annabelle. So this is my, what class is this? Discovery. So I have my sixth grade group that you guys are grade and support. I have Kelly, who's bringing around cards that give you the name of all the kids and talking about our fundraising day and some of the things that we have. So a great way to pray, put it on your fridge if you can. My sixth graders are going to step up, and they're going to give their first and last name really loud, slowly, and say what you're looking forward to. So slowly. We're rushing everything, right? So you can't hear, just say, repeat. So, start me off.
I'm Anna Yale, and I'm looking forward to helping the homeless and their next friend. I'm very proud of looking forward to helping with the book that I see in my next room.
My name is Lila Walker, and I'm looking forward to helping the homeless.
My name is Joel Baker, and I'm looking forward to the community day.
So those are your, six. Any questions for this group before we introduce the rest of them? Any questions that you guys have for the kids that you'll be praying for and come alongside? Yeah.
Is this all your first time doing this? Or...
So I have Noah's parents are missionaries. Now, can you give a wave out? Tell us where your parents are missionaries.
My parents are missionaries to Togo, West Africa. They will be leaving at the end of the calendar year.
So he's all, understand support and all that kind of fun things like that. Then I had two sixth graders that went to Egypt. Yeah. So, which was Koi. Yeah, and Ellie did too. So, Yeah, the other ones will be first mission trip. And yeah, but some of it's good. Yeah, there's more. Canada went to Egypt, too. Back there, but kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Well, first, thank you all for being willing to do this.
Yes.
And we all know that new and different things is scary. Is there something special or specific that you want us to pray for?
Koi, why don't you start me on that? Safe travel. Okay, we're going to start back here, and this Zach's going to start us. He's just give his name and first and last, and then what are you looking forward to?
Okay. My name is Zach Thompson, and I'm looking forward to the BDS.
My name is Dylan Crew, and I'm also looking forward to the BDS.
Please speak up.
My name is Dylan Pro, and I'm also looking forward to the BDS.
My name is
Aaron Kidd,
and I'm also looking forward to the BDS.
Cozy Marquardt and BDS.
My name is Willie. I'm just looking forward to the typing in general and hoping and serving people.
My name is Kim McLeod, and I'm just looking forward to helping
people and serving people. My name is Cody Marco, and I'm looking forward to the BDS and serving people.
My name is Bobby Kudo, and I'm looking forward to serving people.
I have four leaders that will be going. Kevin Newman also is not here right now with us, but I have Kelly. Kelly, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Kelly Steele. I'm really looking forward to this trip because when I was their age, I was also getting to go on my first mission trip, and it had such a huge impact on me. I'm very excited to be on the other side of it and kind of help mentor them and watch the spiritual growth that happened on this trip.
And I'm Robert Strong. I got to go to Egypt with them, and I've had a lot of them in middle school, elementary school, for a while, so I just want to see them too. It's beautiful to see them too.
Any other questions before we ask someone if you guys could pray for us right now? Maybe somebody would pray to the group?
Father God, thank you so much for these kids and their hearts for you, Lord, and their hearts for others. For some of them, this will be a totally new experience and gives a little bit of fear to their hearts, God. I pray to give them peace. I know some are worried about having the funds they need to go. Lord, I pray that you'll provide for them. And we know the people, God. And I thank you so much, Lord, for the leaders of the team. I pray that you'll help everybody to just have a head of protection around them. I pray more than all things, Lord, that you'll help hearts to be open as they go and they serve in that community. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
So we start our meetings today. Today's going to be the first time we stay afterwards for a couple hours, and we do a little bit of communion to get our hearts ready, but then we're practicing our play and just getting ready for what is to come and just getting our hearts ready. So we do that each month, and then we'll be heading out July 21st to 27th. So our goal is to have fundraising done at the end of May and then including the June fundraiser too. So I'm sure as the community, I'm sure it's kind of a fun thing to see everybody come around and support our team. So thank you for praying. Yeah.
Did I read if there was, you can pick someone to pray for and send something to, or send notes or something, or did I not read that?
Okay, so a great thing, what they've done in the past is that as a group, you can kind of, what they've had is like they'll do like a, like, five people do a little gift for them at the very end. And we'll kind of talk, I'll kind of send out more of that, but like a send-off thing. So they didn't really, like, has a sign-up. As a class, you could do that.
Okay.
And so since you guys have six, you would have, like, you know, you need to divide into six or whatever you guys want to do with that. Last year, they had little goodie bags for their trip. It's a 9-hour trip in the bus. So that was really helpful. The plane ride to Egypt, that was so helpful for their little goodie bags just to kind of get them through and stuff like that. So, and little notes or whatever that is.
Yes.
So,
okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for
coming. And what is fundraising day? What is the activity
today? Ashlyn, you go
ahead. I'll talk to you about that. Hi. I'm Ashlyn. Coy is my son who's going on this trip. We are having a car wash and walking taco day on June 22nd. It's on your postcard that you received from 11 to 3, 2. So you can come out in front of the church. The kids will be washing cars, and their families, the parents, will be serving tacos, walking tacos in a little chip bag so that you can grab your bag and walk and eat. You don't have less mess. And we'll have some other treats and stuff there as well to purchase to support the kids. We just want to really gather as a community and let these kids know that we are all praying and supporting for them, and supporting them in all kinds of ways. So if you are willing to help us with that, come see us, buy a taco, get your car washed, but also we have a sign-up sheet if you can't come that day and maybe you want to help. We're looking for donations of 1 to 2 dozen cookies, brownies, or bars or something that we can use that day to sell. So I'll leave one of these sign-up sheets with your group, and if somebody can get it back to Cheryl. It's just your name, phone number, or email. We don't need both. It's just to remind you the week before and make sure you're still willing to help. Okay? Thank you so much.
And thank you for supporting. I know I will put those in and divide that among the six kids that you guys are supporting. They are raising funds until the end of May, so I'm sure they'll take funds after that. But that's our goal, the end of May. So.
I don't have any more cards.
Oh, okay. So. I have one more.
I can give you a name card.
I know.
I'm so helpful.
Anybody else need cards?
Okay. I'll print some more and get that to Dave or whatever.
Okay.
Sure. Yes. Could we talk to Noah just briefly before we leave?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Noah, our daughter and son-in-law are good friends with your mom and dad, Kristen and Dan Naylor. And we know Nathaniel. We've met Nathaniel, but we haven't met you. So we know you guys really well. We'll be praying for you and all your friends.
Thank you. Okay, well, thank you for letting us come in.
Say anything? Okay, well, that was good. We ought to just remember them in prayers individually. This is a big deal for them. I was raised all my high school years. I was raised in a church, and I was not saved. I was just there because I was supposed to be there, and I envy them. I envy their ability to serve the Lord, and I was not able to do that because I wasn't saved. So I know it's a big deal for them. So let's just remember to pray that the Lord will put a hedge of protection around them, and the leaders, and just use them in this time to deal with people who are not as gifted and as blessed as they are. Okay, let's go back to our question. I believe we're on the first question, 1 John 1:5 through 10. How do we often fail to use His righteousness? We can have the Word of God and not use it. And that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. Eve first and Adam followed. They knew the truth. They had the truth. God had given them the truth. And Satan comes in and gives them a lie. And which one did they choose? They choose to lie. And the consequences of that terrible choice are felt to us even down to this day. Because we inherit the same wickedness that they had. So when we live an unrighteous life in unconfessed sin, we are open to demonic attack. That is exactly what was happening here. He went after Eve because he sensed that she was the most vulnerable to the lie. The scripture is very clear that Adam did not believe the lie, and yet he still did it. So God held him with great responsibility. He was not deceived. That's what the scripture tells us. He was not deceived, and yet he did it. Eve was deceived. She actually believed what Satan said. Adam didn't. But he chose to anyhow. So, after we have sinned, what is the only way out for a believer? When the Lord convicts you of sin in your life, what is His requirement to you to get out of that?
Confess
it. Confess it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that verse is just an amazing verse. I mean, it's one thing to talk about salvation, initial salvation, where we are unrighteous, we're not able to do what is righteous, we're just sinners, lost, dead in our sins, and God saves us by His grace. But this, we're already saved, we're already righteous, and yet we turn right around and do what?
Sin.
And God, with His infinite grace, will do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but it does require us to stand up and say, Lord, I'm guilty, I sinned, please forgive me. And when He hears that, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. All I can say to that is, amen, what a God we have. What a God we have. Well, now that brings us to the next piece of armor in verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. With your feet fitted. Now, for the Roman soldier, I'm not sure if the feet are down here. Yeah, they show them as iron feet. Actually, for the Roman soldier, their feet were sandals, kind of open sandals that were covered with leather or heavy material straps. And the sandals had on the bottom, on the sole, they had nails. And the nails were, of course, to give you an absolute solid stance. So when you were walking or standing, you were just about immovable because you were literally nailed to the ground. And that's what this whole thing has been about, right? Stand, therefore, and above all, stand, stand, stand. It just keeps repeating that stand. And if you don't have those sandals on that have that nail on the bottom, you're not going to be able to stand. So they can just knock your feet out from underneath you, and once that happens, you're done. So let's take a look at some verses that deal with this. Isaiah 52:7. Somebody look that up. And somebody look up Romans 10:15. And Luke 15:22. Isaiah 52:7.
How beautiful are the mountains, are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, you are, your God reigns.
How beautiful are the feet. That's a verse that is repeated several times in the scripture. How beautiful are the feet of them that bear the good tidings of peace. And we'll talk more about that peace here in a moment. Romans 10:15.
And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Isn't that interesting that that's repeat it again, and I don't think there's any mistake there. It's the Word of God is always true. Every word, every paragraph, every book is absolutely true. And it says again, how beautiful are the feet of them that bear the good news of the gospel of peace. Luke 15:22.
But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.
Yep, sandals on his feet, because he had been walking barefoot, and the father, as the prodigal son comes home, the father says, bring sandals and put it on his feet. And that's a picture of having the ability to stand firm in the repentance that he was demonstrating when he came to his father and said, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. And 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21.
All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
That verse, and there are several others that are similar, similar language, it's just an amazing thing. It's the divine transaction. What that verse says is that God took your sin, all of it, and laid it on Christ, so that if you looked at his account, the account of Christ, all you would see is my sin and yours. But he took the righteousness of Christ and put that in what? In our account. Is that not amazing? You talk about the good deal of the century. That's an unbelievable deal. I get Christ's righteousness. When God looks at your account, he sees no sin there. He sees only righteousness. Just like Christ. Not only just like, it is. And that's fantastic. Because I don't deserve that. And you don't deserve that. And in addition to that, he has taken all your sin and put it on Christ. And then when he put it on Christ, he judged it. And that's what happened at the cross. At the cross, Christ bore your sins and he bore them to the satisfaction of God the Father. So we want to talk about this peace for a minute. The next question that I have on your sheet there is, describe the peace. I mean, what kind of, you know, peace. There is no peace. We're just reloading. But let's look at what the scripture says about the peace that is in the salvation in Christ. John 16:33.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yep. How many of you understand that part of the verse that says, in this world you will have tribulation? How many of you understand that one? That one is fairly straightforward and clear. It is obvious that in this world you will have tribulation. And it just seems like it mounts. You can't find any place that doesn't have some tribulation. Romans chapter 1, verses 7, and chapter 8, verse 6. Romans 1, 7.
To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, call me saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus.
Peace to you. That is one of the things that is repeated in Paul's writings. Often he opens his books or closes the books with these words, peace be with you. And why would he say peace be with you? Because in this world we have what? Tribulation. And he is saying, I want you to have peace. So what is he talking about? And Jesus said, well, I'm not talking about what the world gives you, because what the world gives you is tribulation. I'm talking about what God gives you. God gives you peace. Romans 8:6.
The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace.
Life and peace. Romans 15:33.
Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
That's an interesting way to address God. God is peace. He is peace. He is our peace. We have peace with God. 16:20.
And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen. God will crush Satan under your feet, the God of peace. 2 Corinthians 13:11.
Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be conformed. Be like-minded. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.
Live in peace. And I can tell you, from the Word of God and from my own experience, the only way you're going to live in peace is to live in Him. That's the only peace there is. God is peace. He is our peace. The peace that Scripture is talking about is right there in that string of verses, and we'll look at a couple more here in a minute. But it's in that string of verses that God is our peace. He is our peace. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we have peace with God. I remember when I was first saved, and this was in another church, and we had a jail service once a month at the county jail. And so I went there, and the cells were all open, and we would each one be talking to one of the prisoners, and I remember distinctly that we had this conversation. I had a conversation with one of the fellows that was in jail, and I had just studied this verse, and I thought, oh, this would be a good thing to share with him. So I shared with him that this is the way we have peace with God. And he said to me with an absolute firmness in his voice, I am not fighting with God. And you know what? I didn't have an answer for that. I was stumped. Nobody ever said that to me. Of course, I was a young Christian, and I didn't understand. But let me turn that around and just ask you. Think about your life and answer this question. Are you at war with God? How many of you feel like you are at war with God?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. That's a good answer. But for the most part, if you go out and talk to an unsaved person, and this group of young people are going to be doing that here in a few months, and you go out and talk to them, would the typical person that you talk to believe that they are at war with God?
No.
In general, you don't feel like you're at war with God. You may feel like there is no God. There's a lot of variations like at that. But you don't normally feel like you're at war with God. But that's not the point. He's at war with you. That's what the Scripture says. God is at war with you. And so this peace that is talked about, where you put on your shoes with the nails in the bottom to give you a good firm grip and an absolute unmovable position bearing the gospel of peace. When you and I go out and bear witness to Christ and the salvation that is in Him, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are going out and saying, God has made peace with you. He has made peace with you. Let's look at a couple more verses. 2 Corinthians 13:11 and Colossians 3:15. Let's take a look at those two. 2 Corinthians 13:11.
Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.
Be, live in peace, and the God of peace will be with you. Colossians 3:15.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful.
Dwell in peace, live in peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16.
Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you.
The Lord of peace be with you. The Lord of peace. 2 Corinthians 5:18-21. I dropped down a couple verses, but we're running out of time, and I want to get this one in. 2 Corinthians 5:18-21.
All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
You see that? Sharing again. We get God's righteousness, he gets our sin. But the word that I want to emphasize to you as we kind of close this thought out for the day, God has made peace with men, and he has sent us as ambassadors from him to men with the message, God has made peace with you. An ambassador. We understand what an ambassador is from our world today. We have ambassadors that represent the United States of America and go to different countries and interface with them and try to keep peace between our two countries. That's what an ambassador does. And that's what God has done. When you and I trust Christ and become servants of him, and we live a life of righteousness, God is sending you. It's as though you stand before him and he says, Bill, I now commission you as my ambassador. I want you to go and tell everybody about what? You have been reconciled. You have been, there is no more war. if you will trust me, trust Christ as Savior, you will be reconciled. You're an ambassador. You've been promoted. And all those people that don't understand that they are at war, the Spirit of God will convict them. Convict them of their sin, convict them of their need of a Savior, and they will turn to Him and be saved. And it is your job to carry the message. Privilege, privilege, honor. Father, thank you so much for what we have been able to share this morning about something that we don't really think too much about, really, is our shoes. The spiritual shoes that we wear are firm. We stand on the Word of God. And we are standing with the message of reconciliation. God has made us an ambassador for Christ. And that is a privilege beyond belief. God has put the message of salvation in our hearts and privileged us to share it with those without Christ. Please take that to our hearts, Lord, and give us a firmness about just serving you. And as we go, may we just do it understanding that we are sent by the Holy One of God. I do pray that should you tarry this week, and the time is getting very short, but should you tarry this week, may you bless us, to use us, and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ through us. And should you tarry, bring us back together again so that we can just fellowship together, rejoice together, and serve together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good week.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm going to go back to it.